Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Do we all agree that we want to revamp the Bay Center? Is that anything that someone has conversation on?
Some people are shy to talk, but not me.
That was agreed upon 20 years ago.
This building's over 45 years old. Some of us on this board weren't even born yet. I was in grade school. It's obviously if we have a vision for the county and city that we have to do something here.
I love how Lumen May says, we decided that 20 years ago. Well, you know, deciding that you want something and then being willing to actually put a plan in and spend the money for it are not the same. In fact, you might say that until you put a plan in and spend the money for it, you didn't decide to do it for 20 years. Of course, Lumen's been in office, what, 14 now? 15 years? No. 14, yeah, his last election cycle. So coming up on 14. Anyway, so this is the conversation about the Bay Center that the Escambia County Commission was having in the combined meeting. I just don't love calling it a joint meeting. Anyway, with the city council last week, Sana Dabadoy, she is from WT. That's the research organization that the city Pensacola used to research the area. One of the experts on venues.
Talking about a modular facility that can host as many events as possible. Having said that, there will be some events that you will have to let go of as you decide and you refine your structure. So if you do want the facility to perform indoor sports, there's a certain capacity that you can meet. And with that, you will let go of certain events. So no, you cannot have everything, but there is a world in which you can accommodate large amount of requests.
God, Mom, fine. Can't have everything. No, but what she's getting at is there are like five questions, okay, on this whole discussion. Question number one, maybe even six. Question number one is what to do with the Bay Center. This question's been answered. $71 million in renovations and upgrades to, you know, diversify the kind of seats you can have, to expand the capacity for seating, to increase the sort of the weight limit for the stage and the loading dock, and basically to make that facility much more competitive with, you know, other larger venues, basically to push up the attendance capability so that it can compete for some of the larger shows. That's part one. $71 million. Part two, a second building out back on the east side, on the other side of the, you know, the circle around ramp that they're going to close down eventually. I mean, that's going to happen, I assume. Everybody assumes that. The question is, what second building do you build? And here's a choice. This is the fork in the road. This was the big conversation piece, which is, do you either build a convention center that is specifically designed to attract the larger conventions that we currently cannot handle because we don't have the ballroom space for them, among other things. And that would be one approach. So just a convention center and a convention center space. The other approach would be what they're calling kind of a hybrid building, which is an event center slash trade expo center slash athletic facility slash smaller convention space, which could handle any of those things and would dramatically increase the ability of the sort of footprint area to generate money. And, you know, you could build in, you bring in volleyball and tournaments and pickleball tournaments and cheerleading tournaments. And because you can move a lot of your, like, expo, like, think Pensacon kind of things into that space, you now free up the Bay Center to be able to do more concerts and more performances and, you know, all the things that it does that it was really designed to do that's now kind of started doing everything. So you could increase the efficiency of the Bay Center at using the $71 million upgrade, and you would also have a second space that would do all of these other things, but not the big conventions. Smaller conventions, yes, not bigger conventions. Third piece, an ice sheet, which would, same thing, allow you to have practice ice. The Ice Flyers could then not have to take up the Bay Center as much. They could practice out there and do their games in the Bay Center. That would free up the Bay Center for more of the stuff that they're capable of doing. And you have a really high level of interest in having an ice sheet. There's you know, whether it's for bringing in tournaments or whether it's for local practices, there just isn't one anywhere. And so that's another thing. $86 million for the second building, the hybrid building, $30 million or so for the ice sheet. Fourth question, and I know it's a lot, but I want you to understand this is, you know, we're talking about spending $150 million. Sorry, not billion. We're not talking about tariffs. $150 million, that's a thousandth of the amount. And the fourth question is a hotel. Ideally, or, you know, presumably, preferably on the property, at least close connected. The Grand Hotel would certainly suffice, but we don't. It's the big black hole of uncertainty. So, you know, a several hundred key room facility that would be connected to the convention center, if that's what we're going to do, that would be connected or at least close to the athletic hybrid facility, if that's what we're going to do. And then the other issue is parking, because if you're going to get rid of parking on the east side, you're going to turn that parking lot into buildings. Well, guess what? You know, if you're going to put up buildings, you've lost parking. Now what? You got to make up for that. Where are you going to do it? Well, maybe on the tech park, the city is kind of interested in doing that. All right, that's kind of your understanding the scope of this question, of this project. We'll come back to this conversation in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you right now. Looks like Highway 29, 90, 98, I-10, I-110 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So this conversation about the Bay Center, there's sort of competing factions here. You have the Visit Pensacola, which is the official destination marketing organization for Escambia County that gets tourism bed tax money to spend to promote the county and bring people here to stay for different things. They have been advocating for a convention center hard for a while. They have been saying, we just don't have the ballroom space, and so we need a convention center and we need a premier hotel. And if you do that, we can make gobs and gobs of money. Okay, we can bring a lot of people in. That's not just good for the tourism tax, that's good for sales tax. People are going to spend money. We have Pensacola downtown, we have the beach, we have lots of appeal. That's what they want. Then you have this other organization that's calling themselves the DMO. That's not really a DMO because that's a technical term of art under Florida law. They're the hotelier organization. Think Innisfree Plus. Like, all the various hoteliers are kind of in this organization. And they have been advocating for something different, which is that hybrid space, that athletic facility. And then you have Legends Global. That's the company that runs the Bay Center on behalf of the county. They also have come in advocating for the hybrid space. Now, they're willing to do anything. You know, whatever we tell them to do, they're willing to do. But they say it makes a little bit more sense to go with the hybrid building and later on to maybe add a hotel, because that would start to activate the conference center capability of that hybrid facility. But that's what they've been advocating for. And then you have this WT organization, what Sana Dabado is from. That's the folks that Pensacola hired to kind of study the area. All right, everybody got the players. You got the plan. Good. $71 million to renovate the Bay Center, $86 million to build a second building, $30 million for a sheet of ice. What are we going to do? Well, Lumen May is going to be the most interesting wrinkle in all of it. Two wrinkles. One is that Visit Pensacola was not there. They didn't reach out. They didn't send anybody. They're in a little bit of a transition right now because of the stuff with Darren Schaefer and the organization and Pam Childers and a lot of things, and Darren's had his contract not renewed, so they weren't officially a part of this meeting, which was a little bit weird. Lumen May says,
I've just not heard in the studies from any one of these people, and I'd love to hear from Michael Capps, that anyone has said that you have to have youth sports downtown. As you said, we want to create this business climate. We want conventions. We want people who are spending money in our downtowns. The infrastructure of a downtown is not conducive for a youth basketball tournament, a volleyball tournament, playing all night and walking downtown. I mean.
So we don't. What? We do the Sun Belt tournament. We do graduations. We do all kinds. I mean, Pensacon, you know, all kinds of events where people are all walking around. I don't understand what this objection is. And so he goes on.
But to look at our prospect of bringing young people down and putting them in a downtown, could you imagine having, you know, thousands of young teenagers running downtown because they're leaving this facility in our downtown? I mean, I think we have to think those things out.
Double what? we don't want a bunch of teenagers running amok in downtown to having a, like, Pensacola Palafox takeover. I mean, yeah, it caters a little bit more to a slightly older audience, 21 plus, but not exclusively. And certainly, I don't really understand this objection. He doesn't want an athletic facility. He wants the convention space. This is a guy who's, and, you know, I'm pretty good friends with Lumen. I don't understand this. His whole thing is what? Youth Sports, SISA, Southern Youth Sports Association, right? He does, I mean, he's every basketball or football player that comes through Pensacola, he's coached them one way or another, pretty much, or at least to hear him say, and he loves youth sports. I mean, his whole life is youth sports. And all of a sudden, we're talking about an athletic facility that would theoretically give him one of the biggest things that he would love to see. He's a big believer in youth sports and all that. And now all of a sudden, he doesn't want it. I'll tell you, I was completely befuddled. I do not know the answer. I don't know why. I've heard theories. But it felt a lot like maybe, I don't know, somebody was encouraging him to go a different direction pretty adamantly. I don't know who that would be. I literally couldn't make sense of it because he's the athletic facility guy. You know, I had one person say, well, maybe he wants a community center. Well, that's not going to happen. that's a money loser. We already got plenty of community center. Genuinely, I don't know. His argument is the kind of people that come, for example, for volleyball and basketball and cheer and that kind of stuff, are not the kind of people that you want for downtown. The kind of people that you want for downtown are the business people who come to spend money and have fun and go out to eat, right? And they're two very different clientele. So bringing a bunch of families up to 9 Mile for the John R. Jones facility, if that ever happens, fingers crossed, who knows, $25 million for artificial turf. That's one kind of person. That's 9 Mile people. You know, staying at the cheap hotels, eating at the, okay restaurants, but not, the high-end restaurants that are downtown. What you want downtown is the convention crowd.
Want the business climate. I think we had a conversation. A youth little league coach is not going to pay the $18 for a beer in a convention center. I mean, he's just trying to get a Subway, a Wendy's burger, and a 12-pack, to get his kids sit to the hotel. And so that's just the reality of it. And so I've done enough of these to understand.
The 12-pack's
for him, right? 12-pack's for the adult.
Well, 16.
I mean, why can't they go to the Fish House or Atlas or, Jackson's or Global or, Iron. Can't a coach enjoy a good steak? But I don't disagree with him. I mean, I actually think, there's some truth to that the kind of people. Now, John, you're in this a lot more than I am because you've coached a lot of youth sports.
Right.
You traveled to a lot of tournaments.
Yes.
Is he right that downtown isn't the right location?
Yes.
Okay. So what should we do? So should we build a convention center there and then just not do athletics? Should we do athletics somewhere else in the county on OLF 8? I mean, where are you going to do it?
I don't know, but I know the Whataburger by the Bay Center would.
Waffle House and McDonald's. Waffle House.
Yeah, those places. I mean, we just want, after being out all outside all day long, the last thing you want to do is go sit down
for an hour and a half meal. Yeah. And all you need an inexpensive hotel or in the region. You don't mind if you got to drive 10 minutes to get there. That's fine. You don't got to walk to your hotel.
Exactly.
It's not a convention. And as long as there's affordable eats and you can stop at the Circle K and get a 12-pack, apparently, you can be okay. So that's Lumen's. Like I said, I understand the objection. I just thought it was super weird for a guy who's always talking about youth sports that all of a sudden he doesn't want the youth sports thing. That he kind of wants it somewhere else. Well, now you're talking about a whole new project. You want to do somewhere. I mean, what is the answer here exactly?
I'm not like everyone else here. I think I already know what I want and what I like. And I'm in the direction of sports tourism. I think that's definitely the direction we should be going.
Yeah, that's Steve Stroberger. So he's saying, build the hybrid facility. When it comes to the parking question, Ted Ant, who had been speaking on behalf of the non-official DMO, the Hoteliers Organization.
There's going to have to be more discussion about parking. And there were a couple of different options, I think, on the site. Aaron can probably speak to that more intelligently than I can about the conditions there. But parking will have to be addressed long term.
Yeah, it most definitely will. And the city, Mayor D.C. Reeves, came in at the end and said, well, we might be willing to do parking on the tech park.
I can't speak for the voting body on the budget. I can say administratively, I certainly think the argument makes sense for there to be a city investment into parking because we can generate revenue in return on that parking. So I think that's certainly a fair philosophy moving forward.
Of course, the problem is the city doesn't own that property. It belongs to the county. I mean, technically the city owns the Bay Center property too, apparently. But so what's the end? Where did they land? Well, here's the good news. I expected nothing out of this meeting. Like, I just didn't expect anything to be resolved. They basically decided to approve the $71 million for the Bay Center to upgrade it. They basically approved the second building as the hybrid event space sports facility for $86 million. They basically decided that the $30 million ice sheet they're not going to do, not yet, but maybe Greg Harris, the owner of the Ice Flyers, is closer to that activity space knowledge kind of investment capability. Maybe he'd want to do that. Let's keep talking about that. They decided not to act on a hotel, at least not yet. That doesn't have to happen in phase one. We still don't know what's going on with the Grand Hotel, so that's an open question mark. And the city kind of halfway said, we're interested in doing parking. Remember, parking is going to be expensive, like $43,000 a space, and they want maybe 600-800 spaces. So those are a little bit undetermined, and the parking is going to be the biggest thing that's undetermined. And they basically said, we can bond it. Stephen Barry said, we've got the money. We can do $150 million. Fine. Now, there's a couple of, dotting the I's and crossing the T's and decisions to be made still, but that's basically where they landed, with the only real objections coming from a couple of city council members who wanted to see transportation integrated, and then Lumen May, who, kind of had this weird opposition to having the athletic facility. So I was stunned. It looks like we're going to do it. We're going to do $150 million for two facilities, and then we'll see where we go after there. 625 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you. Everything is rolling smoothly so far this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot at any given time. And, of course, they sell about half of those a month, so there's 150 new, and then they're going out and coming in and going out. So you want to check back frequently. But if they have what you want, you can buy it. They, relatively young cars, 1 to 4 years, 10, 30 or 40,000 miles. Great cars. They stand behind with a warranty up to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they're only selling you good cars. And then, like I said, if they have it on the lot, buy it. If you like it, good. Otherwise, if you send them looking for something, you're willing to pay higher to get lower miles or newer, or you'd like to pay a little bit less and you're willing to take higher miles or older, they go looking. Different color, different trim level, whatever the case may be. But start at Frontier. Look around. They've got a lot of cars that you can pay attention to. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At Penair Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
What is website visitor ID? How much effort do you put into attracting people to your website without having any idea of who actually visits? With website visitor ID, you can collect the name, email address, physical address, and even demographic information from the people who come to your website, all without cookies. This is lead generation gold. It's called website visitor ID.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Can I get a cleaner mug? This one's dirty.
It's the cleanest one I got.
All right, getting a couple of texts here, 437-1620, about the Bay Center and the second facility project and the Ice Flyers and the ice sheet and all that. Somebody says, I wish they would have given more attention to the Ice Flyers as the biggest moneymaker for the Bay Center. Well, they were, but even if you just build a second facility that's going to draw some of the conferences slash events slash trade shows slash, whatever, off the Bay Center, that opens the Bay Center up to do more of the things that it was designed to do. Now, an ice sheet would also draw practice off and, you know, make it possible for it to do more of what it wants to do. But there's no problem with the ice flyers functioning in this facility. And the ice flyers don't really need an additional thing, except that if they could practice outside, you know, in this third building, basically, it would free up the base center to do other things. And you wouldn't have to be fighting for ice space. You wouldn't have to be fighting with other things as well. Let's see. Somebody says Navy Federal has to host their conferences outside the area because Pensacola can't accommodate them. They should have had representation in the audience. Same for UWF. Oh, fair enough. Can you imagine taking a 10 to 13-year-old group of athletes to Atlas or Jackson's? No.
Obviously. Not at all.
Too cost prohibitive for most families. The other patrons would be quite annoyed with the noise and the chaos. Somebody says, I've heard Lumen talking about having a youth sports center, and we need one, but it being at the Bay Center property isn't necessarily because parents are going to drive wherever to take their kids to the tournament and still pay to stay at the beach, so they don't have to be at the Bay Center. Yeah, all agreed. All agreed. But then you're talking about, what is the best thing to activate that space? And is it a dedicated convention center? And then we'll hope for an athletic facility later somewhere else. 437-1620. David Wayne's in the newsroom with the headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. The 2-week ceasefire with Iran is nearing its expiration date. Iran says it will not be participating in peace talks with the U.S. that are planned to take place today in Pakistan. A foreign ministry spokesman from Iran says the U.S. violated its the terms of the ceasefire by striking that Iranian-flagged vessel. And President Trump says the U.S. is still ready to knock out power plants and bridges if they don't take a deal.
Well, it's not like the president and the Department of War went on social media and bragged about it or anything.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. U.S. officials are set to arrive in Pakistan for a new round of peace talks led by Vice President J.D. Vance. But Iran is reportedly refusing to come to the table.
I spoke with President Trump over the weekend, who told me if the deal isn't done, the deal that we made, then I'm going to take out their bridges and their power plants. He went on to say if they don't sign this thing, the whole country is going to get blown up.
Now, that's Fox's Trey Yinks. Talks come as Tehran vows retaliation after a U.S. seized one of their ships in the Strait of Hormuz, blowing a hole in the engine room. In Shreveport, Louisiana, a man shot and killed 8 children, 7 of his own, and badly wounded their mother. State Senator Sam Jenkins told Fox 33.
I'm very concerned that we are not maybe keeping a closer track on people who have had some history of domestic violence.
The gunman fled and was shot and killed by police.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 53 right now. We've got mostly clear skies. We'll get a look at our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in just a few minutes. An Escambia County man is in custody after a deadly shooting Sunday morning in Pensacola. Deputies say a 38-year-old woman was shot and killed near Gulf Breeze Avenue and Gulf Beach Highway. Authorities identified the suspect as 64-year-old James Pelzer, who was taken into custody at the scene without incident. Investigators say the shooting appeared to be an isolated incident with no ongoing threat to the public. Pelzer is now being held in the Escambia County Jail on a homicide charge without bond. Congressman Byron Donalds brought his campaign for Florida governor to Pensacola last Friday, drawing about 200 supporters to the Fish House restaurant. Donalds has been endorsed by President Trump and has a 42-point lead in recent polling over his closest Republican rivals. He said he wants to build on the consecutive wins over the past 30 years. Now, some new details have emerged in last week's incident outside the Jackson County Courthouse in Pascagoula. A suspect was identified as David Wierick. Apparently, officials say he stole a welding truck that was loaded with oxygen and propane tanks from a nearby work site. And that's the truck that he crashed into a communications tower at the county's emergency services building. The tanks caught on fire before crews extinguished the blaze. Wierick was later shot and killed by deputies outside of the courthouse after allegedly trying to ignite the propane tanks in an attempt to cause an explosion. Well, Blue Origin successfully launched its new Glenn rocket from Cape Canaveral last week, but apparently placed its commercial communications satellite into the wrong orbit, rendering it unusable. It was the third flight for the new Glenn and the first to reuse the rocket's first stage. Tate High School's girls track and field team won the District 1-3A championship Saturday at Pine Forest, scoring 133.5 points to claim the title. Liana Banks led the way with first place finishes in the 100, 200, and as part of the 4x100 relay team. The championship is head coach Paul Bryant's 21st district title in nearly 30 years of coaching. The Region 1-3A championship will be held at Pine Forest on May 2nd. Florida Senator Rick Scott says President Trump does have the right to use military power without a formal war declaration to protect American lives. He was on Fox News. Scott said Trump is doing the right thing in the Iran conflict. He's accusing Democrats of lacking credibility and their opposition to military action. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis' signature property tax cut proposal has no clear path forward, with lawmakers facing a packed special session agenda, which starts April 28th, and an unresolved budget standoff. The House and Senate remain billions of dollars apart on the state budget, and so far no consensus has emerged on how to structure a property tax cut that could work for both wealthy and rural counties. Senate Appropriations Chair Ed Hooper says a property tax issue that works for one county could crush 31 others. Late May is the earliest the issue is likely to get any serious attention. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. Not seeing anything to slow you down so far. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
A bit of some drier air this morning with temperatures warming up this afternoon near 76 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 76. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Heading into Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a small chance of a stray sprinkle, 10% overall, high near 76. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 63. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 52 degrees. We've got sunny skies this morning. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search. For strong candidates, the right fit awaits. Build your team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Smokestack Band, a trio of musicians that have been playing all over Pensacola for 50-plus years. Join them for a multicultural musical experience. It's happening at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Spring shows up quietly around here. A little more daylight. Warmer afternoons. A lot going on locally. News Radio 92.3 keeps you connected to it all, with the stories, updates, and conversations that shape your day.
Stay informed. Staying connected.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
New season, same trusted source.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that.
so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah.
So, do you remember last week, John, we were talking about how Pete Hegseth allegedly had given a prayer that was actually not a Bible quote, but was instead a prayer from Pulp Fiction?
Oh, yes.
And I told you, what did I say? What did we say? That's the story. Let's run it down. Let's get the details, right?
Right.
Okay. So, in case you're not familiar, let's start with what came first in history. Okay. The movie Pulp Fiction from 1994. So you would have had Pete Hegseth was 14 when this movie came out. I assume he has seen it. But when, you know, it's a great movie, lots of profanity. It's a Quentin Tarantino. It's, you know, it's a fantastic movie. There's a scene where Samuel L. Jackson is in the room with a couple of the teenage kids who have stolen the, you know, the briefcase from Marcellus Wallace, the drug kingpin that he is an enforcer for, along with John Travolta. And this is one of the most iconic scenes from the movie.
You read the Bible, Brett?
Yes.
Well, there's this passage I got memorized. Sort of fits this occasion. Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
I mean, the scene ends a certain way. Okay.
Yeah.
So, is that a Bible quote? Not exactly. Let's just say it's a colorful interpretation of, again, this passage in Ezekiel, Ezekiel 25, which the passage actually says, starting with verse 15, this is what the Lord God says, because the Philistines have acted in revenge and have taken vengeance with malice in their souls to destroy with everlasting hostility. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says. Behold, I am going to reach out with my hand against the Philistines and eliminate the Cherethites, and I will destroy the remnant of the seacoast. Here's the verse particularly. I will execute great vengeance on them with wrathful rebukes, and they will know that I am the Lord when I inflict my vengeance on them. Not exactly what Samuel L. Jackson's character in Pulp Fiction said. Okay, so that's what the Bible says. That's what Pulp Fiction says. And now the question is, what did Pete Hegseth actually say? Well, if you were to follow any of the clips on Twitter, you would have seen that they had taken the speech he gave or the prayer he gave, and they would have paired it with Pulp Fiction back and forth to show you, you know, what he read.
Now, Sandy 1 were the A-10s. And if you know anything about Sandy's...
Oh, hold on. I'm in the wrong one. Hold on. Excuse me.
Especially this CSAR mission, which I think is meant to reflect Ezekiel 25:17.
Okay.
So the prayer is CSAR 25:17, and it reads, and pray with me, please. The path of the downed aviator is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of camaraderie and duty shepherd the lost through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to capture and destroy my brother. And you will know my call sign is Sandy One when I lay my vengeance upon thee. And amen.
So, at first pass, it seems like Pete Hegseth is reading a prayer that is essentially a slightly tweaked version of the very tweaked passage that Samuel L. Jackson's character in Pulp Fiction invents. And all of these notable Bible scholars on the left have rushed in to say that Pete Hegseth doesn't know the difference between Quentin Tarantino and the Bible and is offering a fake prayer at this prayer service. Is that what happened? Well, what do I always say, John?
Oh, there's more to the story.
Pay attention to the context. Is that all he said? And the answer is no. Let's back up about a minute in the speech and listen to what he says.
Which leads me finally to a prayer that I'll read, which was also handed to me a couple of days ago, delivered from the lead mission planner of Sandy One. Sandy One were the A-10s that were a part of the daylight rescue mission of 44 Alpha, Dude 44 Alpha out of Iran. And if you know anything about Sandys, their job is to bring those A-10s and put them in between the enemy and that down pilot. And so their job is to literally sacrifice themselves for someone else. And in Iran, in contested territory, that's exactly what they did. This prayer was recited by Sandy One, which is one of the Sandys, to all Sandys, all those A-10 crews, prior to all CSAR missions, but especially this CSAR mission that happened in real time. They call it CSAR 2517.
So he sets it up by explaining it's not his prayer. It's not a Bible passage. It's a prayer that the CSAR community, Sandys, were using their adapted version of some hybrid of the Bible and Pulp Fiction and the CSAR mission, the Sandys mission. He's just sharing what they shared. And he didn't even say it was, he said, you know, it's CSAR 2517. It's not Ezekiel 2517. So this whole story is fake to me. Premised on the idea that Pete Hegseth is so dumb that he would buy into a prayer that's not even in the Bible and pretend that it is in the Bible and wouldn't know the difference. Now, is it possible that Pete Hegseth thinks this is in the Bible and doesn't know that? I mean, I suppose theoretically it's possible, but there's nothing in the context here to make it seem like he's quoting from the Bible. He does read from the Bible in other parts of this speech, this prayer service at the Pentagon. So would it surprise you to find out that all of these Bible scholars and critics who are now making fun of him for all of this didn't even bother listening to what he said while they're criticizing him for not listening to what the Bible says? Like, it's just, we're in such a bizarre world. By the way, this is, I don't want to put these stories together in your head.
But you're going to do it, though.
Did you see any of the social media posts over the weekend that were talking about this CNN story about this is a genuinely horrible story, okay? And you got kids in the car. I mean, this is not the story for them, okay? And I don't even love talking about it at all, but it has been big in the social media realm in the last couple of days, and I'd feel like if we didn't talk about it at least a little bit, we should. But I'm just telling you in advance, this is the kind of story I don't even like to talk about on the radio. It's awful and it's lurid and it's, you know, okay. So if the kids aren't listening, CNN did a story about this website where men go to share videos of them drugging and abusing their wives and partners while they're asleep. I mean, it's pretty unbelievably repulsive. But there's a way that story has been talked about in social media that is just, I mean, completely false or so exaggerated as to become false. I'll tell you about that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Okay, so we've got an accident on Highway 29 in Pinestead Road. It's a vehicle crash with the injuries and roadblock. Starting to see some slowdowns on Highway 29, so just be aware of that. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. Not seeing any other delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Okay, again, if you're just tuning in, I want to warn you, this is not the part for the kids. And I don't even, there's a part of me that doesn't even want to talk about this on the radio. There's an old law book I ran across years ago from like the 1850s. And it's wonderful. I think it's Pennsylvania. And I bought it. It's like a bucket of Grasso. And there was one, and it has all kinds of things in there. There was one section I remember pretty vividly that was on one of the sex crimes, okay? This is at a time when, you know, gay sex and all kinds of everything that people just think of as normal today was illegal, okay, in various ways with different penalties. And it made the comment, it said, you know, this is in a law book, explaining the laws of, and I think Pennsylvania, said, maybe some things would be better off if we didn't even prohibit, because in prohibiting, we talk about them, and in talking about them, we give them attention, and we give people ideas they wouldn't otherwise have. So I'm always aware of that danger. Like, when we cover a story, you know, you give people ideas they wouldn't otherwise have, and that's awful. But this has been making, you know, massive rounds on social media, and so I wanted to talk about it for a second. This horrific story about a website where men go to share their, you know, how to rape your partner while they're asleep through drugs, and then sharing videos. Okay? I mean, this is, it's as repulsive as a thing can be, right? You say, well, I thought you were saying it was false. Well, part is false because the way it's being told is that 60 million men have visited these websites and these rooms, and they're sharing tips and tactics with each other in what they're calling a rape academy, a sleep rape academy. Well, that part is false. What the original CNN story said was there's a website that the website, which has all kinds of weird stuff on it, really all kinds of weird stuff, has had 60 million views. This one slice, one like back deep dank room in that website has 1,000 people. Now, 1,000 is still 1,000 too many, obviously. But the way it's being talked about on social media is, we live in a world where 60 million American men visit a rape academy to learn how to drug and abuse their partners while they sleep. Well, that's fake. I mean, think about it. There's 160 or 70 million men in America, half of 350, so, you know, 170 million. You think a third of all men go to come on. Even the most anti-male feminist would never buy such a disgusting lie about a third of the male population of the United States. So the fact that this is being spread like wildfire on social media, because it's ridiculous. Now, does that mean that it's okay that no, it's 1,000 too many. Of course, it's evil. But it's not 61 million men. They read the story wrong, or they reported on the story wrong. And that's my point. That's the only reason I wanted to connect that with the Pete Hegseth story is because, man, people just can't do basic work, can't do basic research, and just share and share alike. And the theory is, well, I've seen it 5 times, and so it must be true. And then people have the audacity to say, well, you know, AI makes mistakes, and so I'm not going to use AI. Now, I actually say that, but that's because I don't trust anybody to get their stuff right. Because nobody bothers to read the actual report. The actual CNN, who is actually a pretty good news organization, reported 1,000 people in a website that got 61 million visitors or whatever. And then the story became this horrible thing was seen by 61 million people who are going and talking to their friends and sharing their research. And there's a third of the American male population that's into this. Come on. Come on, man. Even AI wouldn't be that dumb. At least you hope not. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring in our new 2026 Subaru models, like the all-new 2026 Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 3.9% for an amazing 75 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Descent? Finance either one for 2.9% for 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek, Ascent, and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Businesses come in all shapes and sizes. Integrity doesn't.
For more than a century, the Better Business Bureau has set the standards for how businesses should operate honestly and ethically. So when you're looking for a business you can trust, check to see who's BBB accredited and who isn't. Always choose the Better Business. Look for the BBB seal because it's looking out for you. That's why it's the sign of a better business. And find a better business anytime at BBB.org.
When I heard I needed a heart transplant, I thought it was game over. All I could think about was the memories that I wouldn't be able to make with my family.
Then an angel entered our lives as an organ donor. Their decision to register as a donor saved my husband's life.
Save lives, say yes. Register today as a donor at DonateLifeFlorida.org.
This message is sponsored by Donate Life Florida and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Let's go. Move out. You're Marines now. You improvise. You adapt. You overcome.
Good morning, 6:55, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 29 and Pinestead Road. We're seeing some delays both northbound and southbound on Highway 29 due to that accident. Let's see here. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about an eight-minute delay there. And 98 is actually looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know, there's actually two more stories I want to mention briefly on this whole, like, people just don't do the research or the reporting lies about things. You see the headline that Trump is going to read Bible verses from the Oval Office after a feud with the Pope and a deleted AI post. I just gave CNN some credit a minute ago, but this is actually a CNN headline also.
Wasn't it supposed to be like Second Chronicles or something?
Yeah, that's right. But this makes it seem like, well, the Pope's answer or the Trump's answer to the Pope is to read some Bible verses from the White House, which seems like a very weird thing for a person to do. Like, I'll prove to you that I'm a Christian. I'll go in public and read a Bible verse. That's not what this is. There's a project that started yesterday or 2 days ago to read all of the Bible in the course of 7 days, and they're having all different kinds of people do it. They wanted to have the president read from Second Chronicles, the My People Are Called by My Name, you know, okay? Mm-hmm. So he's going to read that one portion, and then they're going to go on to everybody else reading the rest of the Bible. It's a part of a whole week-long Bible reading thing, but the way this is portrayed is like, he's doing it to show the Pope he's a Christian. Come on. Come on. Oh, and then the Clarence Thomas speech. Did you see the Clarence Thomas blames progressives for Hitler and hates, you know, thinks progressives are destroying America. I listened to this speech. It's a fantastic speech. I'm not covering it today. I will cover it when I get a chance to cut the audio. But, oh, my God, there's so much, so rich, so deep, so interesting. And interestingly, one of his key points is that we have lost the ability to disagree with people and still be friends with them because we exaggerate everything and lie about them. Huh. It's like they're proving his point. So just... go watch the thing. Go read the thing. Go get original source material or trusted delegates who will represent it accurately for you. I don't know the Pensacola Morning News. You be the judge. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. FBI Director Kash Patel says he is suing The Atlantic over a report that claims colleagues are concerned about his behavior, including alleged excessive drinking. Patel was on Sunday Morning Futures. He called the story fake news, said he intends to fight back. The article cites current and former officials who describe him as erratic and quick to draw conclusions without evidence. In Wisconsin, more than two dozen people were arrested after protesters tried to raid a medical research lab that conducts experiments on beagles. Authorities used tear gas and rubber bullets to break up the crowd during that incident. And in New York, some New York Mets fans apparently are blaming Mayor Zohran Mamdani for the team's 11-game losing streak, the longest in more than two decades. Mamdani recently visited their field, and that started some of the fans talking about a so-called Mamdani curse.
Hey, if there's going to be a superstition to blame your bad luck on something, baseball fans are going to be the ones to come up with it. You know, the Billy Goat curse, all of the different ones throughout all the year. I mean, that's hilarious. The Mamdani curse. and Mets fans of all, more than anybody else, would certainly buy into it. That doesn't surprise me even a little bit. What did the Escambia County Commission and City Council decide with regards to the Bay Center project, that whole property? We'll talk about that coming up next. Stick around.